السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الأمين. أما بعد, and welcome to the mothers of the believers. And we started last episode by talking about why it's so important to learn about the mothers of the believers, the wives of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. We said that they're truly our mothers, and we began with the first wife in chronological order of the Prophet ﷺ, Khadija bint Khuwaylid, but we only covered a little bit about her. So now inshallah we're going to start talking more about Khadija, so make sure you don't miss this episode because she was the most beloved to the Prophet ﷺ. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الأمين. Welcome to the mothers of the believers. In the last episode we were talking, or just started talking about Khadija رضي الله عنها, about her lineage, about her place with the Quraysh. We said she was a noble woman of excellent lineage, she was wealthy, she was even called Tahira before Islam because of her excellent manners, because of her modesty. And then we started to talk about her husbands before the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. She first married a man by the name of Abu Hala, and that was his patronymic. That was basically, Abu Hala means father of Hala, and his son was called Hala. So his name was basically Hind ibn al-Nabbash ibn Zurara al-Tamimi, from the tribe of Banu Tamim. But she bore Abu Hala two sons, one of them by the name of Hala, and the other by the name of Hind. And we said both these names, actually, they're predominantly used for women, but they're actually names of males and could be names and males and females back then. And Hind ibn Abu Hala, so Hind, her son here, the son of Abu Hala, he was actually one of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, and he was from the people who took part in the Battle of Badr. And some narrations say that he actually took part in Uhud, not more so than Badr. But in any case, he was one of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. He was very eloquent, and he used to say, Allah has honored me by my father, and by my mother, and by my brother, meaning Al-Qasim, the son of the Prophet ﷺ, which would be like his half-brother, and by my sister, meaning Fatima radiallahu anha, who would be also his half-sister. And so this basically was this companion, Hind ibn Abu Hala, and also Khadija radiallahu anha, she was also given the matronymic, the kunya, of Hind, because Hind was her son, and so she was referred to as the mother of Hind. Now when Abu Hala died, Khadija radiallahu anha, she married another man by the name of Atiq ibn Abid of Makhzum, al-Makhzumi, from the tribe of from Bani Makhzum. And from him she bore also a girl, and they named her Hind as well, and Hind was married off to her cousin. Now, this is now her second husband, Atiq, and he died as well. Just like Abu Hala passed away, Atiq also passed away, and she inherited him, and the first time she inherited from her first husband. So now we're starting to see where a lot of the wealth of Khadija radiallahu anha came. So she inherited her first husband, she inherited her second husband, and she had a lot of wealth. And then so she started to invest this wealth. She started to go into trade. So we said she was a woman of beauty, a woman of nobility, and a woman of wealth, radiallahu anha. Now she would deal with trade, with buying and selling goods. Now the Quraysh, they thrived on the trips to Asham and Al-Yemen. That's why Allah Azza wa Jal mentions this in the Quran.
لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ إِلَافِهِمْ رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ.
The trips of Shita, والصيف, of winter and summer, these are the very important trade trips of the Quraysh to Al-Yemen and to Al-Sham. So here, obviously as a woman, she would not go out and travel by herself to these areas. So she would bring traders and they would go and trade on her behalf. Now, Of course, the problem with that was that she couldn't personally watch over her wealth, and she could not entirely trust the people who would go and do trade on her behalf and take all of her wealth and her money and so on and so on. But what happened was that when she heard of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she heard of the honesty of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she heard of the nickname of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was called Al-Amin even before Islam, the trustworthy or the honest one. And so when she heard of this, she thought this would be the best individual to go and engage in trade for me on my behalf with my wealth. So what happened? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at this age, he was about 25 years old at this time. And up until this age, he was actually a shepherd, as a lot of the prophets of Allah were shepherds, because it taught a lot of things. It taught like patience, for one, because you're just sitting for hours on end, for days on end with these animals. So it taught patience, and it also taught how to take care of what you're entrusted with, your flock or this group that you're entrusted with. So all these things were part of some of the wisdoms behind why a lot of the prophets of Allah were shepherds. But the point is, at the age of 25, at this time period, is when the Prophet ﷺ started to engage in trade. And because he didn't have his own wealth, he would engage in trade using other people's wealth or on their behalf. So this is when now Khadija radiallahu anha, knowing that he's an honest man and different from all the other traders, she asked him to trade using her wealth. And it is said that she offered him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, double what she told him, I'll give you double what your people give you. So whatever they would pay you, I'm going to pay you twice. So you're going to accompany my servant Maysira all the way to Asham, and you're going to engage in trade, and I'll give you double the amount that other people give. So then the Prophet ﷺ, he set out with her servant Maysira to Asham. And a lot of interesting things happened during this journey. For one, Maysira, the servant, he started to notice things about the Prophet ﷺ. He first of all noticed excellent manners and extreme honesty on the part of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he noticed also that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a lot of things happened. For example, one thing, during the trade and buying and selling in Asham, one person told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to swear by Al-Lat and Al-Uzza. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upset at him. He said, "Have I ever prostrated to them so that I may swear by them?" So this is some of the things that Maysira noticed. He also noticed that, besides the honesty of the Prophet ﷺ, he noticed that there were two clouds that would cover the Prophet ﷺ wherever they went. He said, "I saw a cloud that shades him wherever he goes." Wherever he goes, this cloud is shading him and covering him. And if he sits, it also stops above him. So he says, in one of the narrations, he said, "I wanted to test him, so I said, will you race me?" He says, "I raised him and the cloud never left him." And he says, when it gets hot and the people were sweating and buying and selling, he would be sitting and the cloud would still be on top of him. The other strange thing that Maysira said he saw was the Prophet ﷺ sat and rested under this specific tree near the place of this monk. So when the monk saw him, also in another narration, Maysira said he saw the tree like almost bending over and reaching out to kind of shade and cover the Prophet ﷺ from the sun. So he said maybe it was just the wind blowing. So then this monk, he saw the Prophet ﷺ resting under this tree, and he was really taken by that because of some specific reason, but I'll tell you what that reason is when we come back from the break, inshallah.
Hajj, the journey of Ibrahim alayhi salam, is geared as an educational documentary that will take the audience through the footsteps of Ibrahim and the Muslims today as they perform the once-in-a-lifetime journey of Hajj. The story is told by some of our well-known scholars of today as they reveal the importance and significance of the Muslim's Hajj and how it relates to the journey of the father of religions, Ibrahim.
كل نفس ذائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور.
Assalamu alaikum, welcome back to the show. So before the break, we're talking about the journey of the Prophet ﷺ, where he goes to do trade on behalf of Khadija radiallahu anha. He travels with her servant Maysira, and he sees strange things from him. The first thing, the cloud that never leaves the Prophet ﷺ. The second thing, he notices excellent manners and very much honesty from the Prophet ﷺ. And the third thing, he says, the Prophet ﷺ went and rested under the certain tree. He says, I saw that the tree was leaning over with its branches to shade him. And he says, I was surprised and said, maybe it's just the wind. And then a rabbi or a monk, he came and he said to me, who is this man? And basically I told him that this is a man, he's Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, from the land of the Haram. He's from the land of the Kaaba. So then this man said to him, no one sits under this tree unless he's a prophet. That historically and throughout time, only people would sit on this tree would be a prophet. So then we mentioned the other story when he went to the market and a young man told the Prophet ﷺ to swear by Al-Lat and Al-Uzza. During the trade and the haggling of pricing and so on, he says, swear by Al-Lat and Al-Uzza. And the Prophet ﷺ said that, I have not prostrated to them so that I can swear by them. The Prophet's face became red. So he, Maysira, relates all these stories to Khadija radiallahu anha when he goes back. And all these things, and because of the wisdom of Khadija radiallahu anha, she starts to see that this is a person, it's not normal person, and this is the kind of man that you should be married to. And all these things start to increase her desire in wanting to be married to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remember, we said she was a wise woman. She was actually proposed to many times by the biggest names in Quraysh. Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt proposed to her, he wanted to marry her, she refused him. Abu Jahl proposed to her, she refused him. Abu Sufyan proposed to her, she refused all the nobles, and now she was taking interest in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not because of like wealth, not because of something like status, but it was because of the qualities that she saw in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is a good indication to all the believing women, when they want to check or to pick their future spouse, they should pick on these qualities of akhlaq and of deen more so than anything else. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ also mentioned these characteristics more than anything in the hadith, where he said that if a person comes to you, إِذَا جَاءَكُم مَن تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقُهُ فَزَوِّجُوهُ. So if the person comes to you and you approve of his religion, you approve of his manners, then you should wed him. So not much mention here of status and community and wealth and things of that sort, even though you can take these things into consideration, but first and foremost, deen and akhlaq. And so many people are married to people who are rich and millionaires, but they have very bad manners and very bad akhlaq, and that makes their life extremely miserable, and the wealth does not avail in these situations. But Khadija radiallahu anha, being a wise woman, she was interested now in the Prophet ﷺ, mostly because of these things that have to deal with akhlaq and these things that Maysira told her about the Prophet ﷺ. So this is actually the interesting thing here, is that you never hear about her servant Maysira again. I mean, he saw these signs, he spoke to these people who told him, this man, no one rests under this tree unless he's a prophet. So now you would expect that he would become Muslim, but we never hear about him because he actually passes away before the Prophet ﷺ becomes a prophet of Allah. And that's why we never hear about Maysira again. In any case, Khadija's desire increases in wanting to marry the Prophet ﷺ. And so she didn't know exactly how to go about it. So she spoke to a friend of hers known as Nafisa bint Umayyah. And she tells her to go and to ask the Prophet ﷺ. So Khadija here, or Afwan, Nafisa bint Umayyah, she narrates, so she sent me secretly to him to ask him to marry her, and he agreed. In another narration, she asked him, Nafisa went to the Prophet ﷺ, she said, oh Muhammad, why don't you get married? And the Prophet ﷺ tells her that, I don't have that with which to get married. So then she tells him, how would you like to marry a woman of beauty and wealth and nobility? And then she tells him, Khadija. And then she asks if he would agree, and the Prophet ﷺ says, do you think she would agree? And she said, I'll go ask her. Even though she knows Khadija wants to marry him, she said, I'll go ask her. This is one of the narrations. So now Khadija had been proposed to by so many, but she chose the Prophet ﷺ because of his great characteristics and his honesty. One more important thing I forgot to mention, when the Prophet ﷺ came back from this trip, he did something. This is according to some of the historians, like Muhammad ibn Sa'ad, rahimahullah. Basically, he mentions that the Prophet ﷺ, instead of just taking the merchandise of Khadija radiallahu anha and selling it in Ash-Sham and then coming back with the money, he took the merchandise, sold it in Ash-Sham, and instead of coming back empty-handed with only the money, he brought the merchandise that would sell back with the Quraysh. So he brought some merchandise that would sell very nicely. He chose something appropriate and he came back with it and sold that and made twice the profit. So he profited from selling the goods in Ash-Sham, and he profited from selling the goods that he brought from Ash-Sham and sold in Mecca. And so he brought back to Khadija radiallahu anha twice the profit. And it is said that, remember, she told him in the beginning, I'll pay you double what the other people pay you. So now this is the amount, the double what he would usually get. When he brought her double the profit, she doubled the amount that she had promised him. So double the double. So this was also to show you the excellence of Khadija radiallahu anha and her generosity. So now there's basically a narration that you will hear many times as we discuss the lives of the mothers of the believers. And it is a vision that Khadija radiallahu anha had, and so many other wives of the Prophet ﷺ had before they married him. So Khadija radiallahu anha had seen the sun in a dream. The sun descended from the heavens and landed into the front yard of her house. And so she then went to her cousin Waraqa ibn Nawfal, and he told her that she will marry the awaited prophet. This is how he interpreted this dream to her. And so the wedding took place, and the Prophet ﷺ brought his uncles. He brought Hamza and Abu Talib, and in some narrations he brought Al-Abbas, his uncle as well, to the wedding ceremony. And Khadija radiallahu anha also brought her uncle, because as we mentioned in the first episode, her father actually had passed away. And so it's said that she brought her uncle Amr ibn Asad, and they were married. The Prophet ﷺ at the time was 25 years old, and Khadija radiallahu anha was 40 years old, 15 years older than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now we find that Khadija radiallahu anha was the one who bore almost all the children of the Prophet sallam, except for Maria al-Qibtiyya later on, who gave birth to Ibrahim. So from the children the Prophet sallam had with Khadija, he had a boy, Al-Qasim. But Al-Qasim died at the age of 2. And you'll find all the boys, the males born to the Prophet ﷺ, had died. And perhaps part of that is the wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jal, that his final prophet and messenger would not have a son, and so that would also put maybe a better seal or like a closure to the finality of prophethood. As some of the prophets, like Yaqub alayhi salam, his son was a prophet, Yusuf alayhi salam, and so on and so forth. And you know, the interesting thing is that had the Prophet ﷺ had male sons that lived to be grown men, perhaps it is quite likely that people would have glorified them and made them into prophets of Allah, or exaggerated in their love of them and exaggerated in following them. And part of that is probably true, because the Prophet ﷺ did not have any children, but his grandchildren were taken by some groups of Muslims who went to great extremes and went astray in exaggerating towards the grandchildren of the Prophet ﷺ. So let alone if the Prophet ﷺ had actual children, what would have happened then? So it's probably part of the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In any case, Al-Qasim was the first boy that was born. He died at the age of 2. And then there were the daughters of the Prophet ﷺ, Zainab and Ruqayya and Kulthum, and the famous Fatima radiallahu anha. And then after that, they had another boy named Abdullah. And sometimes you'll find in the books of history, he will be referred to as Tayyib and Tahir, but his real name is Abdullah, but sometimes referred to as Tayyib and Tahir only because he was born into Islam, and that's why they gave him those like nicknames. Zainab radiallahu anha, the oldest daughter, she was married to Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi', and Ruqayya married to Uthman, and Kulthum also married to Uthman, and Fatima married to Ali, as everybody knows. But we've come to the end of this segment, inshallah. But when we continue after the break, we'll keep going with the story of Khadija radiallahu anha, so don't go anywhere.
كل نفس ذائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور.
How you doing?
I can't believe you let him do this.
Why not? He can handle it.
How do you know? It's only his first time.
So?
Everybody's doing it.
Yeah, man. Hey, everybody's got experience.
He didn't have to.
Man, you don't look so good.
Man, I feel good.
Yeah. Hey, is he okay?
Hey, what's wrong?
Hey, we better pull over.
What's going on back there?
He's not breathing.
Pull over, pull over!
Oh my God.
All right, welcome back to the show. So we're talking about the children that the Prophet ﷺ had with Khadija radiallahu anha, his first wife. And we said there was Al-Qasim, who died at the age of 2 years old. And we said, actually, that's one of the reasons why the Prophet ﷺ had the patronymic of Abu al-Qasim, the father of Al-Qasim, because of Al-Qasim here, his son. We had then after that the oldest daughter, Zainab radiallahu anha. She was married to Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi'. Then there was Ruqayya radiallahu anha, and she was married to Uthman radiallahu anhu, the third of the rightly guided Khulafa. They had a son called Abdullah together. So Ruqayya and Uthman, they had a son whose name was Abdullah, and when he was about the age of 6 years old, it is said that a rooster like pecked at his or gouged out his eye, and that caused him to die. Ruqayya radiallahu anha herself, she died right around the time of the Battle of Badr. There's a famous narration when the Muslim came to give the good news of the victory of the Muslims at Badr. They found them leveling the dirt over the grave of Ruqayya radiallahu anha. And so Uthman radiallahu anhu, now his daughter, or his wife, the daughter of the Prophet ﷺ, had passed away. He was honored, and the Prophet ﷺ gave him another daughter, Kulthum radiallahu anha. He gave him Kulthum, and she was married to Uthman. So Uthman radiallahu anhu had the honor of being married to two daughters of the Prophet ﷺ, and that's why he was given the nickname Dhul Nurain. Like, basically it means like the one with two lights, or the bearer of two lights, because he was married to two daughters of the Prophet ﷺ. But also Kulthum radiallahu anha died in the year 9 after the Hijrah. The interesting thing here is that the Prophet ﷺ, he gave his first daughter to Kulthum, and when she died, he gave him his second daughter. And today, a lot of times, if that would happen, they would say, this man is jinxed, we're not giving him any more of our daughters, they'll probably die. But so when the second one dies, what is it? The Prophet ﷺ doesn't have any more for him, because Fatima is married to Ali. So he says, the Prophet ﷺ, in one narration, he says that if he had more daughters, or if he had many daughters, and each time one is married to Uthman and she dies, he would keep giving all of them to Uthman radiallahu anhu. So nothing here about bad omen or that someone is jinxed, nahs, or anything of that sort. Then there was Fatima radiallahu anha, very popular Fatima, who was married to Ali ibn Abi Talib, and they had Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn and Zainab and Kulthum. And Fatima dies 6 months after the death of her father sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then, of course, there was Abdullah that we said is referred to sometimes as Tayyib and Tahir, but as some scholars say, those nicknames were given to him only because he was born into Islam. And like we said, later on, the Prophet ﷺ gets another son, Ibrahim. Now, at this point then, the household of the Prophet ﷺ consists of the children of the Prophet ﷺ, as well as Zayd ibn Haritha. And Zayd ibn Haritha was given as a gift to him by Khadija radiallahu anha, And we're going to actually talk about Zayd in detail when we discuss Zaynab bint Jahsh later on, inshallah. But the point is, Zayd ibn Haritha is also in the household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ali ibn Abi Talib was also part of the household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you might wonder what brought Ali ibn Abi Talib into the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The reason is that Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had a lot of children and he could not take care of all of them. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took Ali into his home, and Hamza radiallahu anhu, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he offered to take Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. So Ja'far was raised in the home of Hamza, and Ali ibn Abi Talib had the honor of being raised in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so now the household consisted of Zainab, Ruqayya, Kulthum, Fatima, and Al-Qasim until the age of two, and then Ali radiallahu anhu, Zayd ibn Haritha, and even Zubair ibn al-Awam, and because his mother was the aunt of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So all of those people and the wife of Zayd were in the house of the Prophet ﷺ. And they lived a very nice and happy life with no problems, and they were very wealthy, so much so that the Prophet ﷺ did not have to work. And this was a very important point in the life of the Prophet ﷺ. Because of the fact that he did not have to work, this gave him the ability to be able to do other things. And the Prophet ﷺ began to take to at-tahannuth, which is basically like meditation or contemplation. And he would go to the cave of Hira, and he would sit there and contemplate for many hours, and sometimes for days. Sometimes he would stay very, very long times there, sometimes even a month. So a lot of interesting thing here, and it tells us a lot about Khadija radiallahu anha. She knew this is something that was important to her husband, something that he loved to do. And there was wealth and so on, so she let him do what he wanted to do. And some, you know, he would leave his bed, and he would leave the comfort and the home and the good food, and he would go and stay in the cave and meditate and just contemplate. Now, again, probably any other woman would just be constantly nagging her husband to not leave and just stay with her and just stay here and don't go and constantly bother him. But she cared so much about what the Prophet ﷺ desired. Now, it's not that we can say that if she stopped the Prophet ﷺ, he wouldn't have gotten the revelation, because Allah had decreed this, of course. But you still see how she was, and you're going to see this again and again, how she was supporting and how the things she did were conducive to the da'wah of the Prophet ﷺ improving and becoming more effective. So she supported him, and she didn't say don't go there, and she didn't forbid him and say, you know, no more going to the cave, stay here with the family. Not only that, she would support him by bringing food to the mouth of the cave. So she would send the servants, and they would bring food and put it at the mouth of the cave. But look at what, I mean, the mouth of the cave. Why wouldn't they put the food inside the cave and bring it and bother him? She knows he doesn't want to be bothered. So she would tell him, leave the food quietly and leave. They wouldn't come in and say, how are things doing? And guess what happened in town? So-and-so gave birth and this. No. She knew that he purposely wanted to be alone and not distracted, so she made sure the servants as well didn't distract him. But just think of this fine point. It's really a fine point, but it shows what a caring person she was and what a wise person she was, that she cared so much about these things. More, inshallah, even though we've come to the end of the episode here, but more, inshallah, on the wisdom of Khadija radiallahu anha in the next episode. So make sure you don't miss it. Thank you for being a responsive and excellent audience. Sallallahu barak ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.